live from our living room, it's From Long Distance to Marriage with Andrea and Rich. We're a once long-distance couple who closed 5,000 miles of distance and made it through to marriage.
We talk long-distance, marriage, and relationships.
Episode 20 of From Long Distance to Marriage. This week we have a really special episode for you. We have our first ever guests, which is something we're going to be doing as often as we possibly can. But in this episode, you're going to be learning about a really interesting couple and a book that they've created for the long distance community. This is the LDR Activity Book, and you can find out more about it at the couple's Instagram page, which is ldr.activities. And their website is ldractivities.com. We'll put all that information in the episode description. But they've done a really great offer for our listeners. You can get 20% off with the discount code LDTM, so the abbreviation for long distance to marriage. That's LDTM. So you're going to find out more about this couple, why they've created the LDR activity book, in the interview now. Enjoy.
Sam and Jared here, and they're a really interesting long-distance couple. Do you guys want to say hi?
Hello.
So why don't you just start by talking to us about and telling the listeners what you guys have put together with your activity book?
Sure. Ladies first.
Okay.
So Sam and Jared, and we are the co-authors of the LDR activity book. So last year, we created a book for couples who are in long-distance relationships, and it's essentially a really fun, interactive, colorful, hard copy book that you and your partner complete from a distance.
Awesome. And what gave you guys the idea to do that?
Yeah, so I'll take this one. Sam and I were in a long-distance relationship for about a year and a half. After I moved from Toronto for my job to San Francisco. And once we were ending that period of time in long distance, we realized how much we had really learned from the experience. And we also really wanted to use our entrepreneurial spirit and expertise to put something together that would really help others. We're a pretty intense couple. We had different routines and different tips and tricks that really helped us during our time. And we also chatted with a lot of other couples throughout the year and a half and afterwards, learning about what worked for them and what didn't work. So we said, hey, we have all this information. We're both entrepreneurs. It could be really fun and exciting to start a business together. Why don't we see what we can put together? And that started was the genesis for the LDR activity book, and it built from there.
So you mentioned Toronto and San Francisco. We haven't really gone in, haven't asked how you met, where you got, like how far apart are you? Are you still long distance? Can you give us just a bit of backstory about that?
For sure. Our meet cute. Have you heard that term? Is that popular where you are?
Meet cute?
Not that we're aware of. We must be missing something.
Oh, it's when you meet someone not from an online dating app and you have like a meet cute story. That's what people call it here.
Okay.
Yeah. So our meet cute story was, I was actually working for an innovation conference in Toronto. And this was right before Jared was moving to San Francisco. He was still in Toronto. And at that point he was, you know, halfway up the door. He was not interested in a girlfriend. He was moving in a couple months. And I was, you know, I had been single for a couple years. And so I was in like a different stage of my life, but working at this conference, and I had to find different speakers who would speak at it. And he was working at Uber at the time. And I had reached out to Uber and they suggested Jared to speak on the panel. So we connected over email and I had to get him to send me his headshot. And I totally remember the day I received it. I was sitting in my cubicle beside someone and I was like, "Ooh, this guy's pretty cute." And then didn't think anything of it. The day of the conference, I actually didn't even go to his session. I had a few sessions happening, so we didn't meet. But then a month later, at just a random house party, we were both there on the dance floor, introduced ourselves. And I was like, "Oh, are you Jared from Uber?" And then kind of the rest was history from there.
That's crazy. That's one of those things that makes you think some things are fate. You know what I mean? Like that you'd been talking and then you just happened to actually meet in person and then put two and two together who the other was.
I know. I love that. It was such a fun night. And we, like I said, he was moving a couple months later. So it was always meant to be just like a temporary fun summer fling. But I always say that's kind of why it worked, because we let our guards down and we weren't playing a lot of games that you might do in a beginning of a relationship. And because of that, you know, fell in love and decided, even when he went to San Francisco a couple months after meeting, let's just try long distance.
So Jared, from your perspective, obviously you were the one moving. This relationship was very fresh and new. Did that kind of change the way you felt about moving to San Francisco? Did it put any reservations into your mind?
A little bit. Yeah, for sure. It was definitely a very interesting time in that I didn't know the dates, but I knew at some point in the next few months I'd be moving. And this was also one of the reasons we decided to create the book, was we had both heard so many horror stories about long distance, and people said it never works, it's going to ruin your time in San Francisco, don't do it. So we definitely had a lot of reservations going into it. And part of our kind of goal for this book is to take away some of that stigma around the fact that long distance can't work, because they actually can work, especially if you're thoughtful about how you go about it. So there is definitely some reservations, but I'm extremely happy that I went, and it was a really cool experience that I'm very happy to have shared with them in a long distance relationship.
And we also feel that really helped escalate our relationship, because we'd only known each other for a couple months, and so we didn't still know a ton, and you had to develop that relationship using just, you know, written and verbal communication, and you couldn't plan dates or, you know, just watch a movie together in the traditional sense. So that really escalated things. Like, we got really close and pretty serious quickly, because in long distance, if you're not aligned, sometimes it can bring more of that what's the point a lot quicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you make a really good point there, Jared, because about wanting to reassure people that long distance can work, because we're obviously active on Instagram, which is how we started talking. And then we're also active on Reddit. And quite a lot of the messages that we get or the conversations we see happening are people who haven't yet closed the distance. And as you also said, maybe they're hearing negative influence from outside people who, you know, it's never going to work. You're wasting time. You're missing out on opportunities here and now. And they're sort of that stage of wondering, do I listen to that and give in, or... you know, they need that, I suppose, that positive reassurance that they can work.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, that's something we experience too. People thinking kind of what you said, Sam, like, what's the point? Without giving too much away in terms of the tips that are in the book,
I don't think we've asked, how long have you guys been apart and together now?
Sure. So he was in San Francisco for almost 2 years, and I was living in Toronto that whole time. And since he's left San Francisco, we're still kind of long distance. He's in Vancouver. I'm in Toronto, which is the complete opposite ends of Canada,
right. Yeah.
East Coast, West Coast. But part of this journey we've been on together entrepreneurially is we've both now quit our jobs and are both doing the whole kind of laptop lifestyle. And so we're able to spend a lot more time together, but we still aren't living in the same city. For example, right now we're taking this interview from Medellin, Colombia, and we're traveling together for 4 months. Yeah. So
is that laptop lifestyle, is that to do with the book, or are you doing other projects alongside that?
Other projects as well. The book was our first thing we've done together, and then we both do some freelance on the side.
So, sorry, what was the question you were going to ask?
You've taken this all out of sequence. I was just going to ask, without giving too much away, because I know that, Jared, you said there's a lot in the book about, you know, removing that stigma around long-distance relationships, but how did you guys cope, you know, in those early stages when people were saying things to you like, oh, you're going to be moving, don't bother, get this relationship started? I mean, what were the conversations you had, or the coping mechanisms that you use to kind of ignore that and move forward?
Yeah, I think if you were to summarize a lot of the book into one thing, it's about really aligning on different things with your partner. So we spent a lot of time thinking about and talking through what success and what would work for us, because a lot of what I had seen in other long distance relationships I wasn't that excited about. For example, I thought in a long distance relationship, that meant you had to go on the phone with your partner for an hour or two each day. Or I thought that meant you wouldn't be able to go do activities with your friends on the weekend because you'd have to have a Skype date or something with your long distance partner. When in reality, that might actually be what works for some people, but for others, and what worked for us was really quality over quantity in terms of our interactions. We both have a lot of projects on the go. I was in a new city making new friends and doing new activities. Sam has a pretty active social life and entrepreneurial life in Toronto. So we said, hey, we don't need to get on FaceTime every day. Why don't we choose two or three times a week and really be thoughtful about those conversations, come with things to talk about, be excited for them, turn off distractions, really be present. And I think that was one of the really a turning point for especially me in terms of getting more excited about this long distance relationship, and that I could share what was happening in San Francisco with my partner, but it wasn't detracting from my day-to-day life. It was actually just enhancing it.
That's really interesting, because I think people do have that general idea. Like, you're tied to your phone, you're tied to your laptop. You can't have a life outside of whether you're in school or you're working, and then you just have this relationship. But really, a long distance relationship is just like any relationship. It looks different for every couple. And
it does. And I think something we've said either in a previous episode or the blog, I can't remember which, maybe both, but we've said about how in some aspects you can have more you time in a long distance relationship. Although there may be this idea or this stigma even that you're spending all your time on the phone or, you know, Snapchat and a text message and whatever it might be. I think if you're physically present as a couple, there's often more pressure, I think, to be always with that person. Whereas when you're long distance, it's like, you know, one, you may be awake at completely different times.
Yeah.
Or you may be, I've got school or work or, you know, whatever. I just think in a lot of those relationships, you can be more present with yourself.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
I totally agree. I think Sam and I both agree with that. For sure. Like, it allowed us to pursue our own passions, but have somebody by your side to help you. But yeah, you can really explore yourself and your own passions at the same time.
Yeah. And you said a word that really kind of stuck with me. You said earlier, talking about making sure that you're aligning with your partner. And I think that's so important, it's important in any relationship, but particularly with long distance. It's very fortunate that you're both very kind of independent sounding entrepreneurial spirits. So I think it's important that not necessarily that you're the same type of personality, but your personalities match well so that you can cope with that. You know, a person who maybe wasn't, you know, quite independent and maybe did want to be tied to the phone all the time, maybe wouldn't work with someone who didn't really want that kind of formation in a relationship.
And it's things like, you know, your long distance, especially genuinely like far apart, you're not going to bump into them out and about. So there's none of that pressure of if you say you're really busy, say you're building a business, if we're, you know, talking about being an entrepreneur, but you may be out and you bump into them, they could be, why didn't you invite me?
Saying long distance is good because you can lie to each other?
Didn't say lie. I'm not saying being disabled, but there's no expectation of if I do this, I need to make sure they're with me or I invite them, or there's none of that sort of potential. But depending on the type of partner that you have, I just know there are some people, men and women, who are just like, I need to be attached to you 24/7. And if you're in the shop, why am I not in the shop with you?
Yeah. Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. There's no lie. I'm not promoting lying at all.
No, we don't promote lying. Can you tell us a little bit more about kind of how you decided what to put in the book in terms of the content that you focused on?
Because you partnered with a psychiatrist, right?
Yeah, a psychologist. In relationships.
So how did that come about?
For sure. The whole process of creating the content from the book, essentially from like the idea stage to actually having a sample in front of us, was about 6 months. So it was a pretty accelerated process, but that was also because it was at the same time we had both, you know, quit our jobs. Jared was now moving back from San Francisco to Canada, And we decided that rather than fly all of his stuff back, let's take a 5-day road trip, you know, up the coast, West Coast. We'd always wanted to do that. We'll drive all of his stuff home. And whoever isn't in the driver's seat will have a laptop open. And let's just use these 5 days to do the first hurdle of the book. Let's reflect on the last couple of years, what worked, what didn't. It was a really great exercise for us to go through as a couple to reflect on all of that. But also that's how we came up with like the first skeleton of here are the themes, here are the types of activities, because the root idea was to make it interactive and to make it fun and something you could create like an experience around. So that was the first stage. And then the second stage of our research collection was now surveying other couples who were either in long distance relationships currently or who had been one in the past and getting on phone calls, sending out surveys. And that was also a really interesting stage because it started with people we knew, but then people would recommend other people. So we talked to couples in like Amsterdam and across Europe and couples who were in long distance marriages, new moms whose, you know, their partner wasn't there and they had a baby and like the element that played. So that was fascinating. And then the final stage was when we incorporated the insights from a registered psychologist, which really took it to the next level in terms of making sure it was sound and that there was, you know, strong content there to help broach some of these topics.
So how did the psychologist, like, how did that idea come about? How did you find the right one? I'm just curious.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, we don't necessarily talk about it that much in the book, but the psychologist is actually my mom. And she's a psychologist who's focused on relationships and she has over 30 years of experience. So from the beginning, we always knew that she would be a great resource for the book. And she was very excited to kind of help us and participate in this because she is later stage in her career and really loves kind of helping the new wave of how couples are thinking about the relationships come to fruition. So that's how that came.
That's really cool. I think it gives it that element that I think sometimes people can think, the people who haven't been involved in a long distance relationship or have never had one themselves can think that they're not as serious. And like, I think Sam, you said earlier, you know, things accelerated really quickly with you. And that does happen when you're communicating the way you are in a long distance relationship. So there's a real lack of resources, I think. I mean, there's, you know, going to a bookstore and there's podcasts about relationships and there's so much kind of that self-help relationship focus, but there's so little about long distance, and those are the people that really need the support. So I think it's a really exciting.
Yeah, I mean, what did your, both of you, just real quick, what did your parents think of you being long distance?
That's a great question. I don't think I've been asked that before. My parents saw the kind of spark and the, you know, magic in Jared and I right away. I think they had seen me bring a few other boyfriends home before that were not a great fit. And they just could see that Jared and I had a really similar vision for the future of our lives. And we were really aligned on the type of lifestyle we wanted to be living. And so it was very bittersweet when he was leaving. We were excited for him, but also, you know, it was sad. So at least on my side, they were very supportive, but maybe different for you because you were, you know, moving away, out of staying.
I think it was, the support was also there. My sister actually, who's now married to her partner, she was in a long distance relationship with him for a while he was still at school and she was living back in Canada. So they obviously, my parents had seen a long distance relationship be successful in the past. And I think the conversations I had with them, which is also what we've incorporated into the book in some capacities along that same theme of just like, make sure you guys are on the same page. Both in terms of how serious the relationship is, how often you want to talk, et cetera, and as long as that's the case and you're feeling excited about being in San Francisco, then go for it.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. we've had some messages lately from a few people, haven't we, about they haven't been getting that support from their family.
And friends, too.
And friends. We had one message from someone who's very close friends. We kind of got the feeling that they perhaps jealous. They were making it about themselves, like, I'm not getting the attention from you since you've been in this long-distance relationship, and we've been speaking to someone whose parents don't really get it. And so having been through what you've been through in the book, what referring back to what you said before, Jared, you know, about people needing to hear the reassuring stories of success, what advice would you have for people in that situation who might be listening?
I guess whether you're long distance or not, I think no one can really know the details of your relationship other than the people who are in your relationship. And so it's great to get insights and from other people, and it's great to have a sounding board that's third party and hopefully unbiased. But for the most part, it's about you and your partner. And I think that you should stand strong on what you and your partner feel and what you and your partner want to do. And at the end of the day, it's your relationship. And I think that's sacred. And I've seen it go other ways where maybe it's a group of friends and they're all single and the first one to get a boyfriend, and how that can change the dynamic. And that happened to me a lot more when I was younger. I'm now in my late 20s, and I hope that's a generic thing, that as we age, that kind of dynamic starts to go away. At least I've noticed it less, but that can happen. And it's really tough. You know, you want the people around you to be supportive of your wins, whether it's a career, just because someone's having trouble finding a relationship they're happy about, you should still be able to be happy for your friends. And
so I think that's a really good point that maybe people don't think about enough, that if you're in a long-distance relationship and you're not getting that support from friends and family, it may not just be because you're long-distance. There's plenty of no-distance relationships where there's still that jealousy or lack of support, or I don't agree with the person you're with. And so, you know, for the people who are in that situation where it's long-distance and they're thinking, is this worth it? I'm not getting the support. You equally may not get the support. It may be just as much trouble, I guess, even if they weren't long distance.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because the two people that Rich sort of mentioned that have messaged us recently, they both met in an online capacity and haven't met in person yet. And obviously, like you said, you guys didn't meet in an online dating app. So your family got to know you both and then you became long distance. So I wonder, you know, if there's just a bit more understanding on that, because there's not so much mystery surrounding it.
The conversation we had with one of those people was, they were at the point of trying to meet. And then I think for parents, it kind of, that raises the stakes a little bit of, hang on, this is, to us at least, the strange, because to you, you know that person, they're a real person, but to the family and friends, they're sort of abstract. They're just a name.
This person they hear about a lot. Yeah.
And yeah. And then, so then those parental concerns and fears come up, and it's like, why do they need to get a boyfriend or girlfriend in another country? Why can't they get one at home? Why are you, is it safe? You know, there's catfish is pretty well known now, and all those kind of concerns. Is that something you guys have dealt with or spoken to people about?
There's a big online community in that exact scenario that we didn't really realize until we started to market our book in a few different ways. There's Facebook groups all about this. There's Facebook groups with the intention to actually connect people who are not in the same city and create long distance relationships. So I think the same way you need to be cautious of someone you meet in person and, you know, have your guard up a little bit in terms of their intentions or their background, I think there's also just as much excitement of, I'm not limited to the people down the street. You know, as the internet has changed things and globalization and social media, I think that just creates more opportunity to find better matches. And to me, I choose to see that as an exciting thing. And of course, be careful, but I would also be careful if it was someone I met at a bar down the street. So use judgment, I would say, but I wouldn't get discouraged by that personally. What about you?
Yeah, me neither. I think it's a reality of the way the world is moving. We're taking this call right now from Colombia, which, I mean, a lot of people would say is dangerous, or maybe it's not a good idea to travel there. But the reality is, with globalization and the internet, people are moving around and relationships are also moving around. So I think it's one of those things that over time people will get more and more used to. It's still something that seems foreign to a lot of people, but I don't think that should stop you from pursuing your passions and pursuing relationships with people whom you're passionate about and whom you're connecting with. Although at times it will be hard, just like at times our traveling and being in a different country and trying something new is hard, but the reward is definitely well worth it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, because you guys obviously from the same country and we're from different countries, but very much similar cultures, you know, America and the UK. But what we're seeing a lot with the online communities that you guys mentioned is where long distance, you know, the world's getting so much smaller and long distance is becoming so much more popular that we're seeing people from completely different cultures, even different languages coming together, which can only be a good thing.
Oh, totally. And I love what you said, Sam, about it being an exciting thing and kind of opening up all these opportunities. I mean, I grew up in a really, well, not small town, but a town that's certainly not really on the map in Arizona, and never dreamed that I'd, you know, meet a guy, whether I met him in person or online. I mean, we did meet online and then end up living outside London. I mean, it's just not something that you ever imagine is going to happen. And I couldn't be happier that it did.
Like, it's funny that people say, oh, you know, of all the people in all the world, what are the odds that your soulmate lives down the road? And
yeah,
that's kind of how it traditionally had to be. And now we've got the flexibility to find, you know, genuine connections anywhere in the world.
Like Sam said, you better matching, really.
Yeah, with no language is a barrier, but it's not a barrier in the sense that people are overcoming it. And even then, technology, you can download an app to learn languages now, you know, like everything's just so much more accessible.
Yeah, I think this is more of a culture change on like a bigger scale than just about relationships. This is just how things are moving. And yeah, I think it's really cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's all over the world and so many aspects of our life that everything's just, there's so much more interconnectivity.
Mm-hmm.
So just going back to the book, you said earlier on that you were talking to long distance couples or parents in different places and all the different potential scenarios that could be long distance. Do you want to go into a bit of detail about how you found those people? And then sort of as an extension of that, when you were marketing it, how did you find the people that would be the audience for you?
Yeah, so we definitely approached that in a variety of ways. As I mentioned earlier, Sam and I are both kind of intense people. So when we were going into a long distance relationship ourselves and during, we definitely chatted with friends who we knew who had been successful or unsuccessful in terms of some of the things that worked for them. And then we were able to, once we thought about creating this book, kind of reach out to them to gather input. But then we also really used our social media to get people to chat with. So we posted on Facebook and Instagram, and we really saw a kind of a snowball effect in terms of people who said, hey, I was in a long distance relationship, referred their friends, people. It's definitely one of those topics that people get interested in, whether it be because of something that failed and they think, oh, they'll never work, or they worked and they think, oh, this is super exciting. So it definitely gets people excited, and people were very, very open and interested to sharing their experiences with us, which was great.
I think another thing that helped is, in classic millennial fashion, we had shared a lot of our relationship, our LDR relationship, on social media prior to the book. And so people knew we were in a long distance relationship. You know, I'd go visit him and, you know, do tons of posts about it. Or, you know, you'd send like a screenshot from your FaceTime conversation on Instagram and the birthday post, wish I could be there. So we had definitely put content out there that we were in a long distance relationship. And that also kind of created opportunities for people to reach out to us prior to the book, even to say, like, how the heck are you making that work? Good for you. I could never figure it out. And so it was over 2 years, we kind of positioned ourselves almost as like thought leaders in this space, because we were so open about our experience.
So was it about 2 years that you were together before you started writing the book?
Exactly.
So just as you mentioned social media, this might be a good time to just take a second for you guys to plug your social media accounts, where people can find you, if you've got a website and all that kind of stuff, you can plug it here.
And where people can find the book as well.
For sure. Well, we're on Instagram. That's probably our favorite place to find us, and we totally follow back. So definitely hit us back. Our handle is LDR.activities.
And then you can also purchase our book and find out more about us and our story at our website, which is www.l.
So I know, so you guys use Kickstarter to start funding the project. Is that right?
Yeah.
So for people who maybe don't know what that is, can you tell us a little bit more about what Kickstarter is and then how you managed to reach your goal? Because
you had a pretty big goal, right?
Yeah, our original goal was $6,000.
Essentially, Canadian or US?
Canadian. And for people who don't know what Kickstarter is, it's a platform for crowdfunding. And for people who don't know what crowdfunding is, because these are, it's kind of a new, still quite a new thing. It's essentially crowdsourcing or bringing in a variety of people to essentially pre-order your product before it actually has gone on sale or hit the market. So before we had pressed go on the creation of our book and printing about 1,000 copies, we had already raised money to help cover some of those costs. So essentially we weren't out of pocket or spending our own money for all of the books that we were going to sell. And then these people got those books at a discount when they actually were released, which happened earlier in January.
So how many backers did you end up getting? Do you know the number?
We had about 200, and then we closed at just over 10,000. And we had the campaign live for a month.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that sounds amazing. Incredible. So how did you actually succeed that?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no kind of silver bullet when it comes to Kickstarter. We definitely did a lot of research online, and we can talk about, for those who are interested, a couple of the things that really worked and didn't work. The main thing, honestly, with that it comes down to for Kickstarter, at least that we found and what we also heard from other products that were successful, is that it's really, really a lot of hustle. So you really have to sit down and think about who's in your network, and really be a bit shameless in terms of reaching out and saying, hey, we're launching this product on Kickstarter. Are you interested, or do you know anyone who is interested? And really like tap into your network there. And I think what we did that was better than I've seen other Kickstarters do that people have reached out to me is we started the process early. So it was definitely more authentic in that it wasn't saying, hey, we just launched our Kickstarter. Do you want to buy our book? It was saying, hey, you know, we're thinking about launching this Kickstarter in a few weeks or a month. We'd love to know if you might be interested in purchasing and, or you might know anyone else who's in a long distance relationship who could be interested to start the conversation early, as opposed to it just being kind of an ask after you've launched, I think really helped.
And another thing I think that worked for most campaigns and especially ours is the long distance relationship community, I'm sure you know as well, it's not that massive, right? It's a very specific type of person that we're creating this content for. And so a lot of people we know aren't in a long distance relationship, but the point of crowdfunding is to help raise the money that you need to do a big production run. So we had a reward level where it was $15. Let's say you don't want to spend the full $35 for the book, but you want to support us, you're our friend, and you believe in what we're doing, you could donate $15, and in return, you would get a personalized thank you video from us. We also sent you, like, the intro chapter of the book digitally, and so that worked out really well, too. Like, I think we had maybe, like, 40 or maybe even 50 people do that alone, which we would have missed out on all of those donations, sort of say, if we just launched with, okay, buy the book. And that was the only option to support us.
So let's talk about the book a little bit then. So for people listening, they can visit your website, ldractivities.com, and buy the book. Hopefully there'll be a discount code for our listeners to get it. What can they expect to actually read in there? You know, what kind of tips or activities do you have for them to do? And if you've got like, is it over a period of time to, you know, is it like a month of activity? Is it just whatever they want, whenever they want? How have you structured it?
Yeah, that's it. Those are some great questions. We thought about this for sure. I mean, when we originally were brainstorming, we were like, oh, do we want to make it sort of a week by week thing or a 6 month kind of track that you go on? But we decided in the end to kind of make it a choose your own adventure. So we have 8 chapters and each chapter is on a different theme, but each chapter goes through a similar type of process, which is saying, here's why this specific topic is important. Here are some of the things that work for us. Here are some best practices. And then it ends with an activity you usually do first, a part of it by yourself to really make sure that you think about the question and your view on it yourself in an unbiased way. And then you do an activity with your partner along the same topic afterwards. And then sprinkled throughout the book, we have fun activities like sexy crosswords or word search or like drawing a picture and messaging it to your partner, just kind of some fun things sprinkled throughout. To all of activities are meant to be relatively approachable, and some are more fun than others, but we definitely tried to keep the book easy and approachable for anyone.
Great.
And then we can talk also a bit about, in terms of that, maybe you can talk a bit about what some of the chapters we have in there are.
Yeah, some of the themes we have is the book kind of also starts off with more foundational topics. So yes, it's choose your own adventure. And the first intro chapter tells you, you know, feel free to skip ahead, tear things out, scribble things in. Like, we really want you to treat this almost as a scrapbook in a sense to represent this time you've spent in a long distance relationship. But at the beginning of the book, it is more topics around aligning on things like communication. So anything from, you know, how often we should talk, what forms of communication are we going to use most? Our favorite is around some like conflict resolutions that can often come up in communication. So we encourage our readers to come up with like a code emoji where, let's say, someone sends you a text and you don't love how it lands. Rather than, you know, have a reaction or get mad at them, you just kind of send this code emoji back. The person receives it. They're like, oh,
really good idea.
Yeah. They didn't interpret that. And then they will reframe their message. So that's just an example of something we did. And The book starts with stuff like that.
I think we could even use that tip now. We're not even long distance anymore.
Yeah,
texting can be dangerous.
Maybe your next book is just
how to survive marriage
or
long-term relationships.
Yeah,
I think that's really, really interesting. And
well, because you know that's a really, the positive thing about that, as everyone knows, I'm sure, but you're expressing your how displeased you are without reacting in an angry way,
yeah.
Which is sort of the default position, I guess, most people would have. I'd speculate.
A lot of people
don't talk to me like that, whatever. And that's a really, really positive.
It's a
way
neutral
of
way
it.
to deal with that.
Well, yeah,
go ahead.
I was just going to say one of the themes that we definitely talk about in a few chapters of the book is assume good intent. That was one of the things that my mom, the psychologist, is big on in terms of not assuming the worst. Assume that the person is trying their best and assume that they didn't mean what you might think they said or did until you are proven otherwise. And I think that's really important, whether you're in a long distance relationship or not, is to just give the person the benefit of the doubt and allow them a chance to explain themselves or change around what they intended.
Yeah, that's hugely important.
Because I say that quite a lot, that not just in a relationship, just, you know, in life, I think few people really set out with the intention of ruining your day.
Yeah, people, for the most part, are completely decent and don't want to upset anyone.
You know, and we've mentioned in a previous episode that individuals go through life, you know, accumulating experiences and whatever, and they mold you into a specific person and you've got preferences on how you are communicated with, you know, how people look at you, talk to you, even physically if they touch you or whatever. And someone else can come in your life and not know what your preferences are and can very easily get on the wrong side of you. But yeah, I think carrying around that in the back of your mind, that assume good intent, they're probably not out to deliberately irritate you. I think that's going to carry you a long way.
That's going to be my new motto. I think totally. Like, that translates, I mean, completely just out of a romantic situation.
Yeah, I mean,
all
that's
across,
work, people, friends. You know, people driving on the roads, people who are in front of you in the supermarket, you know, everyone's just about their own day, trying to get where they need to go. And I think that's a positive outlook.
Thank your mom for me, because that literally is my new motto.
I will.
So I have a question about the book, and some people, listeners, might have this question if they haven't seen you guys online before. Does each person need one book and a couple? So does a couple need two books? Can they just have one copy? What's the best way to do that?
Our recommendation is for you to each have a hard copy of the book, especially if you're in a traditional long distance relationship, because you'll want a copy, like Jared said, to do some of the activities on your own first. I think the mistake a lot of couples will come into is they'll have the intent of, okay, let's have the conversation, let's align on things like how often should we talk, or even issues like trust, you know, what are my boundaries? What are some of my trigger areas? And I think the mistake people make is you go into that conversation and maybe you've thought about it a little bit, but if someone's more comfortable with those topics or is even the first one to answer, it's even like negotiating like a sale of some kind. Whoever kind of gets the first word in will often, you know, bias the rest of the conversation. And so we really stand by the fact that you want to think about these things ahead of time and write them down so that when you come together, you know what your stance is and you want to co-create from that versus, you know, whoever's the loudest voice in the room. So for that reason, we definitely encourage you to both have your own copy of the book. But of course, some couples will just have one. And we do have a lot of couples who aren't in long distance who just want to do the activities and some of the personality compatibility tests that we have in the book.
So for people who can't get to, or maybe, I suppose, some of the people we've seen in the online community, they're in, for want of a better word, secret long distance relationships, and maybe their family isn't supportive of it. For the people who maybe unable or maybe afraid to have a physical copy that people could find, do you guys have or plan to have any online or downloadable resources they could use?
Well, right now when you sign up for our email list on our website, we provide a digital copy of the bonus chapter of our book, which is actually all about LDR sex. And funny enough, we listened to one of your podcasts all about this topic for some inspiration on that, because in our actual book, we don't broach that subject too much. I think we blush too much when we talk about that. So
there was a lot of blushing during that episode. Don't get us wrong.
it was really great. We listened to it on this trip, actually, when we were in Panama. Yeah. We were in a bus.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, great. Glad to hear you enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a new chapter we just released. It's live right now. So we have that. And then we also have the intro chapters downloadable. But for the most part, we really want to keep it a hard copy just because of how much of it you want to fill out and include things in.
Yeah, and you want to keep the integrity of it to be as good as it can be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, like you said, Sam, it's like a scrapbook. And I can only imagine, you know, once people close the distance and they're together, how fun it would be to go back through the hard copy and see how much things have changed or how much hasn't changed.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke recently about time capsules, didn't we?
Yeah.
And making one. And I can well imagine this book being the beginning of a time capsule.
Yeah. And I mean, when we were long distance, I mean, there was not WhatsApp, there was no iMessage. I mean, it was literally emails.
It was the Stone Age.
But I mean, sometimes now, like, I'll go down the rabbit hole sometimes and start reading old emails. And it's that nostalgia that comes with,
definitely,
you know, those heightened emotions from when you were apart. And I think this book, like you said, having that hard copy to as a scrapbook just can really be something valuable to hold on, something tangible to show what you went through and the conversations that you had together, which are so important.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say get a better hiding spot.
Get a safe in your room somewhere.
Totally. We've had so many people ask us that, like, oh, you know, the future is online, you're making a mistake. And when you're in a long distance relationship, so much of your relationship is digital.
Yeah.
So much of it is already text and reading. And you know, it's nice to have something physical when you can't be physical together. And so, yeah, we really stand by the hard copy.
Yeah. And I think also just where life in general is all becoming digital and on one device, and relationships aside, it's nice to have anything physical.
I mean, yeah, like when I get a
even
letter,
DVDs don't exist anymore.
When I get a letter that's not a bill, I am so excited. Like,
yeah,
it just doesn't happen anymore. Like something physical.
Well, like our nephew wrote me a letter the other day. So he lives in California.
Yeah, he's my sister's
so
little
I'm,
boy. Yeah.
You know, Andrew's made the point on an episode of ours that when your relationship's no longer long distance, the rest of your family is, and I think that's an important point. So we are now long distance for
my family,
your family.
Yeah.
So like. He is what, 6 now?
Yeah.
So he wrote a letter to his other uncle
jealous.
I kind of joked at him like I didn't get a letter. And then the other day I did, you know, and so it meant much more than a text message would
or an email word.
So yeah, there's something very personal and I suppose tangible about physical things.
Yeah, I mean we spoke for a long, long time online before we ever even heard each of those voices or anything. But I remember getting my first letter from Rich and just seeing his handwriting was an intimacy that,
personal, yeah.
Yeah, it's an intimacy that I think people can take for granted that, you know, these are things about a person that you don't always see when you're, well, you don't see when you're long distance. And yes, having something tangible, basically what I'm saying, you know, something physical like this book is, it is kind of a relief from everything being digital, like you said.
Yeah.
You also you made the point that not everyone who reads it's in long distance. Would you say that it's valuable for people in quote unquote regular relationships?
For sure. Yeah, especially because we had so many other friends that run relationships who weren't in long distance by the book and have done some of the activities. And the first couple chapters are around like personality tests you can take to really, from a scientific level, understand how your personalities impact your relationship, as well as the love languages. We love that test. And those
yeah,
are just
yeah,
we
test.
Do too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so good. So I think these are activities that any couple should do. And then of course, ones around, you know, planning the perfect visit. There's a variation of it where it's planning the perfect trip together. So we try to have some nuances in there so that couples who aren't in an LDR can also participate and get value as well.
Awesome. Yeah,
that's great.
Sounds really interesting all across the board.
So I think we're probably at the point of nearing wrapping this up. Is there anything you guys wanted to mention or plug or explain while you've got the chance?
No, we really appreciate this opportunity. It's our first time being on a podcast. So
you're our first guest. And
yeah,
we're
really excited about
us.
It. You're a very exciting first guest to have.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We'll come out, but it's Valentine's Day, which is even sweeter that we're incorporating this as part of our Valentine's Day date today. So thank you as well for that.
Absolutely.
And you too. Yeah, thank you.
And we will be doing, we've discussed a giveaway, which I think we'll work out the details. I know you guys have to run off to an appointment now, but we can work out those details and tell our listeners a little bit more about how they can win a copy of the book.
Yeah,
that sounds amazing.
That'd be great. And if anyone has any questions, we include some contact details on our website as well. So we're always happy to personally answer any questions or comments anyone has about what we're up to. So
yeah, and we'll list your Instagram and your website in the description for this episode as well, so everyone can find that more easily.
The discount code we're going to create. Later today.
Yeah, we'll do it today.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much.
Yeah, thank you guys.
And where are you off to next? Where's the rest of your trip taking you?
We're going to be in Colombia for a little bit longer, and then we're heading south to Peru.
Oh, that's nice. Are you doing Machu Picchu?
We're going to do some form of it. We don't know if we're going to do the like traditional hike, but we'll be there in some context.
Awesome. We'll have an amazing time and enjoy your guys' time together.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Bye.